Quite a few bits and pieces today regarding my talk. It sort of gives you encouragement when you hear, you know, people's testimonies and the gifts of the Spirit. But my talk is God's saving patience. And we are the work of God, and we do different things to want to get the gospel out. And but it all starts with God's work in us. If God didn't work in us, there would be nothing done that we could do. Second Peter chapter 3, just a couple of quick verses to that talk about, you know, the patience of God, the patience tolerance that God has. And if he didn't have this tolerance, we would be finished. It wouldn't have gotten very far if God didn't have tolerance, right from the Old Testament, wouldn't he? You know, God was willing to be tolerant. Second Peter chapter 3, there's a lot you can read around this this chapter, but we're just going to choose verse 9. The Lord is not slack or slow concerning his promise, as some men count slackness or slowness, but he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And it talks about the old world and that was drowned, and the Lord didn't shut the door to the ark until it started raining. And that's virtually what it's saying. God, you know, people, and it's saying, you know, where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, nothing's changed. And he's reminding them, there's a lot has happened. And anyway, he says, you know, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, as in 1,000 years a day. Okay, we might be judging God on our scale of timing, but God works to a very different scale, for one thing. But it's just reminding us, God is not slow because he's slow. He's slow because of his desire to keep that door open for as long as possible, to allow as many as possible to come in. Psalm 103. And it's a patience that, you know, we do inherit through the Spirit as well. For those who have built a house, we built a cabin. And I felt that we built a little cabin by the ocean. It was a caravan park where you're allowed to sort of put a cabin there. We designed and built this cabin to suit ourselves. And I thought, what would it be like building a house? If this is enough trauma going through this just with a cabin, building a house, it'd be just... You know, it just seems so slow, doesn't it? You think you're getting places and then there's a hiccup and, you know, they can't get this person in, or this is not available, or they don't know whether you can do that. It's just, yeah. So, and how does God feel? I mean, this, what he's been building all these centuries, as I say, good thing he works through a different time scale. Okay, Psalm 103, verse 8. The talk is about God's saving patience, how patient he is with us. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as the father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. And it makes us feel glad that we have such a God, and we're told elsewhere, yeah, Jesus came, he suffered as a man, he understands what it's like, the difficulties. You're not alone, he's... And say this patience, this awareness of our frame, of you know, how weak and pathetic we can be in the natural. But as Paul says, you know, that can actually bring us to the strength of the Lord working in us, because we start praying and seeking and looking to him, and then being strengthened by the Lord. I want to bring a story out, and it's 1 Chronicles chapter 17 with King David. 1 Chronicles 17. For those who are online, we're in the Bunbury, the House of God in Bunbury. We do have actually stained windows here. I don't know whether you've looked there, but I'm often out there with a Windex, having to, because it's used as a children's playgroup as well. So, the House of God, but it's a this is obviously not the house of God here. The house of God are the people sitting in the seats there. It's God's work. It's God who has been working in each and every one of us. And we can be, sometimes in building a house, you know, things can be pretty slow. And sometimes we just don't recognise, we don't see how God's working in us. Other times you look back, my first 12 months or 2 years, I used to think, how did I get here? You know, I just realised it wasn't me that was organising this. This was God's doing. And so many times I say it's like I got on the wrong bus and I'm thinking, hey, whoa, I'm on the wrong bus. You know, do I start pulling a cord and say, hey, I just wanted satisfaction. I didn't want to be, you know, all this God stuff. And then I'm thinking, oh, gee, the scenery's pretty nice and this is comfortable, isn't it? Oh, seats are pleasant and, wow, this is quite a trip. I've never thought that it'd be like this. And you started enjoying the ride. But then you start looking back and you think, you know, how did I get here? 1 Chronicles 17, and it's a story about King David. He's subdued a lot of his enemies. Riches are coming in. Now, verse 1, it says, it came to pass as David sat in his house that David said to Nathan the prophet, lo, I dwell in a house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remains under curtains. Then Nathan said to David, do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee. And it came to pass the same night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, go and tell David, my servant, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me a house to dwell in, for I have not dwelt in a house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent and from one tabernacle to another. Wheresoever I have walked with all Israel, spake I a word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedars? Now therefore thus saith, thou shalt say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be a ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with thee whithersoever thou hast walked, and have cut off all thine enemies from before thee, and have made thee a name like the name of the great men that are in the earth. Also I ordained a place for my people Israel, will plant them, and they shall dwell in their place, and shall be moved no more, neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more as at the beginning. And since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, moreover I will subdue all thine enemies. Furthermore, I tell thee that the Lord will build thee a house. And though Solomon was allowed, David's son Solomon was allowed and progressed, and David prepared a lot of materials for him, and they did build this this place where people could come and pray and seek the Lord when they're in trouble. It was never in God's head, as we've read there, for Solomon or David to be building a place where God could dwell, God could live. And it's just brought out in so many of the other scriptures too. Just read about the house. This one that Solomon built, it was called the First Temple Period. It was 950 BC. It lasted for 470 years, this temple, to 587 BC. The time that Solomon dedicated the temple, they slew 22,000 ox and 120,000 sheep as a sacrifice. And it's massive, massive undertaking that went into it. Great joy. But the Lord warned them from the very start, don't think that just by building this house, you know, there's my laws, my commandments will change. And he said, if you do, he said, this house will be a reminder to the people round about, and they'll think, what happened here? You know, the ruin of this house. What happened here? What went wrong? And the house would be, as I say, a monument of their denial of God's ways. But the Lord, and my talk on, you know, God saving patience, the Lord allowed them to experience that. First Solomon's, the first temple. Then after that, the temple that they built when they came out of Babylon, Ezra, Nehemiah, and that was built at about 538 BC, and it was called the Second Temple Period, and lasted about 600 years. And it would have been destroyed. It was actually standing when Jesus was in, you know, when he went in, into the, says he went into the temple and then his disciples showed him the buildings of the other temple, the one that Herod was building. So it was standing at the time that Herod built his temple, but it was, they were both destroyed. If Herod sort of incorporated it, some of it, or he destroyed it after he built his own temple. But sounds like, cause I couldn't sort of figure that out from my research, but they were destroyed at the time of Titus in 70 AD, so, which means that Herod's temple only lasted 90 years, and it was probably one of the most magnificent of the temples. He had foundation stones of 100 tons. And imagine in those days carving out the rock, you know, these massive stones and putting them on whatever they sleds and craning them into position, 100-ton blocks as foundation stones, and only lasted, as I say, 90 years. He had 1,000 priests because the temple couldn't be built, nobody but priests could be sort of in the temple area. Then they built it with priests, and the other temple, Solomon's temple, they had something like 70,000, you know, in the forest and hewing out stone, and they would cut it all to precise and then bring it to the on site and put it together on site. And God's saving patience. In the beginning, God says, you know, this is not in my mind. If you want to do this, you know, this 1,000 years that all up from when they first started to when the second and third temple were destroyed by Titus 70 AD, God allowed this to sort of to play out because it was in man and he tolerated it. Yet he said, you know, we'll read it, Isaiah 66. I was curious from Frank, he was been over in Italy recently, and I asked him about St. Peter's Basilica. And I was just reading the dimensions of it, 800 feet in those, sorry, for those who don't know feet, in old, for us who, you know, worked in feet and inches more than others, but, you know, 800 feet by 500 long by 500 feet wide by about 400 and plus feet high. You know, it's just massive. Apparently 60,000 people can fit inside St. Peter's Basilica, that I read a couple of occasions. So just enormous, you know, monuments. And what was it built for? And the means by which they got the money to build it, you know, you could buy to have your relatives taken out of purgatory, Tyndall or whatever his name was, who used to go around and say, you know, give, and can't you hear the cries of your relatives in purgatory, and wouldn't you like to deliver them? Or maybe it was from hell into purgatory that you could get them out by paying some money. And St. Peter's, you know, that it's built on money that it came from this type of program that they had. But as we read here, Isaiah 66, and verse 1, okay, you probably read right through. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? And verse 2, for all those things has my hand made, and all those things have been, says the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is of poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembles at my word. He that kills an ox is as if he slew a man, and he that sacrificed a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offered an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burnt incense as if he offered or blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delights in their own abominations. And Isaiah is 680, previous to 680 BC. This was written. And we did read that the temple, so this is way before the temple was destroyed in 587 BC, about 100 years before the temple was destroyed on the first occasion, Solomon's temple. Isaiah was writing this, saying, look, you know, God, it's like an insult to God, or, you know, for what purpose do we build monuments to God? Is God going to dwell in a temple made with men's hands when he says that, you know, the earth is my footstool? We used to have a little puffet, I think, at home. You're watching television, this is years ago, and you'd watch television, you put your feet up on the puffet and to rest your feet, and that's the earth. And the heavens, with all its systems. And he says, that's just like the seat of authority that I sit in. It's not my room. It's not my house. It's not my kingdom. And you sort of start realizing, so how can we contain God in a building? God does not dwell in temples made with men's hands. And we can't build God a temple that's going to house God that would be sufficient for God. And he says, as if I need anything, look at what I've made out there, just the amazing creation that I've made. And why should I want man to make me anything? But he allowed it, you know, God's tolerance, his patience with mankind to go through all those times of building temples. And as you just read of what Jesus had to say, there shall not be left here one stone upon another, he said on that occasion. There was a time when Jesus was transfigured, you know, before Peter, James and John, I think it was. And first thing Peter says, oh, it's great that we're here, isn't it? How about we build one tabernacle for you, one tabernacle for Moses, one for Elijah? And, you know, then there's this shining light and a booming voice that says, you know, just listen to what Jesus has got to say. Don't start building stuff, is virtually what he says. And they feared. You know, don't start building stuff for God. God doesn't need us to be building stuff. He wants to build. He wants to build in us. He wants to use us. And his spirit and his word working in us. Okay, Acts 7, verse 48. And this is Stephen, is just before he's to be stoned, and he obviously had read Isaiah. And this is Stephen was 35 AD. Who can tell me when Jerusalem and the temple was destroyed? What year? 70 AD, yeah. The 35 years before the temple was destroyed, this is something that Stephen was reminding them about. And it was something when they criticised Jesus when, you know, he said, in 3 days I shall destroy this temple. Oh, sorry, I shall destroy this temple and raise it up in 3 days. And, you know, the temple was a big deal to them, wasn't it? It was what they had done for God. And all along the Lord sort of saying, no. And even kings, when you think about kings, it was a bit of a slap in the face that Israel wanted a king. 400 years before they had a king. In Deuteronomy he says, look, there'll come a time when you get into the promised land, when you get into your land, and you want a king like the other nations have. And he said, if you have a king, then the king should not be somebody who seeks after riches of silver and gold, who marries many wives, who brings to himself horses, and he should be a king who, you know, acquaints himself with my law. And, you know, you've got a chance if you've got a king who does those things. But as even with David, he had quite a few wives, didn't he? Gathered riches, and Solomon certainly, he forgot all about that, didn't he? How many? 1,000 concubines, and they were the things that undid him, wasn't it, with Solomon? With all his wisdom, he didn't look back to what the instruction was, and he could have safeguarded his future if he had looked back into the Word of God. So, yeah, God does not dwell in temples made with men's hands. We'll just keep going. Heaven is my, in verse 49, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, says the Lord, and what is the place of my rest? Has not my hands made all these things? In verse 51, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do you. And a bit like Isaiah, he finishes it in a different way when he said, you know, to which man will the Lord look, but he that is of a humble heart and fears my word. Okay, and just go to Ephesians chapter 2 to finish on. It doesn't come easy sometimes to, in quietness, is your confidence, you know, be still and know that I'm God. That time where, as Jesus did, as busy as Jesus was, you know, he would find time to seek his Father and to find those quiet times, those still times, to talk. And if we pray in the Spirit and have time with the Word, so the appreciation of your salvation, the appreciation of the assembly, the awareness of the work that we have to do and its importance, and we fear God far more than we fear mankind, you know. We've got it very easy compared to other people, and we're all human, and we're all fighting the human element that's in us, and we interact, we want to interact with people. The Lord doesn't want us to be out away from people. He wants us with people so that we can influence them. But unfortunately, their effect does influence us. So we've got to keep on top of that. And by praying and reading, we become aware of the importance of what we're doing. And that's the Lord, building inside of us. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18. And for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. It is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. We are one of the very few people who know what that means, through the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. A lot of people got no idea what that means. They don't have the Spirit and they don't know what it means. And we do, and it's just making time to do it, isn't it? It's just doing it. And we know it, and it's not particularly hard for us. But the world and its pressures, are always things we've got to keep pushing back and realising the importance of the job that we've got. And in chapter 4, this is where we'll finish. Chapter 4 and verse 6. There's one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he says, when he ascended up high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now he that ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. That he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And like Andy was saying in his testimony, the different aspects, the different abilities that we have through the Lord, through the Spirit. And when I read this, I sort of think it's like the work, the setting up of a work, apostles, people who go out, what an apostle means, prophets, people who are publicly speaking, evangelists, messengers, pastors. Then you start getting into the people that start gutting and scaling the fish. You get the fishermen, you've got to catch the fish. Then when the fish are caught, then you've got to deal with them and make it something that, it's worth catching. And the work is made up of, different people who have different roles. And I've worked on a few building sites when I was carpet laying for my father. You've got to have an awareness of each other's jobs. I used to sort of say, electricians. I just can't believe it, electricians, they're probably the most studied of, all the trades, and that they'd march in with their dirty boots, just drill into the brick wall and leave everything behind and just march straight out of the carpet that we've just put down. And probably in the electrician's mind, he's thinking, who put this carpet down, and just to show just how stupid it was, he was just going to march across there, drill into the wall. He should have been able to just walk away and it wouldn't have been a hassle. Just to show people, you've got to get the planning right here, you've got to do things in proper steps. But if there'd been a hiccup along the way where the carpet didn't get laid for some reason, and the electrician, we've got to be understanding of each other, I suppose, in that way. We're dealing with people, and people are very different, new people that come in. New people are very different. And sometimes, things don't go according to plan with them. And the carpet is down and you're an electrician and you should be able to march across the carpet and drill into the wall. Not the carpet. You should be able to march across concrete and drill into the wall. But if the carpet's there, there's a hold-up. And so that type of tolerance that we need to have towards each other. When we're building together, realise we've got different jobs. Try to appreciate each other's jobs, and when things don't go to plan, then we've got to show the same type of tolerance that God showed toward Israel, allowed them to do things which were not in his plan. He knew that it wasn't going to work out well. He allowed them to learn by it, And then, eventually, because he is patient, the fulfillment is of his plan came about. We should have learned something through it, why God wasn't interested in it being done. And, hopefully you realise God is very patient, has been very patient with you individually, with us as an assembly. He will continue to be so with mankind. And as we keep looking to him, he wants to be building us. We are his workmanship. Okay, we'll leave it there. Hand over to Pastor Tim.